This morning, we're going to be once again studying from the book of Mark. If you've got a Bible, turn over. We're going to be in the chapter 11 today. Chapter 11 of Mark, Jesus is now in Jerusalem, and it's basically a week before his crucifixion. This is the last time he's going to be there, the last time he's going to be able to teach. And in chapter 11, we've got a number of episodes that build upon, really, what we looked at a few weeks back. If you remember from last week's lesson, we looked at the idea where Jesus had, are you the problem? Are you causing other people to sin? First, he warned us not to cause what he called the little ones, but then he warned us not to cause ourselves to sin. Because lots of times in our lives, we allow things to stay in our lives that we know we should not. We go places, we do things, we really tempt ourselves, and Jesus warns us about tempting ourselves and to ridding our lives of the things that would tempt us. But as we're going to see this morning, that's really half the solution for our lives, getting rid of those things that should. But we need to be sure we add to those things that maybe are not there and to make our lives full before the Lord. And that's what we'll be looking at today. In Revelation chapter 2, Jesus warns a number of the churches. He writes the letters to a number of the churches and warns them on different ideas. And one of the things we're going to look at is two of the churches there this morning. And these, we can think about even our own congregation. The first one is the church in Ephesus. In the church of Ephesus, Jesus praises them for getting rid of all the false teachers, all the false doctrines that they should have. And he praises them for this. But then in verse 4 of chapter 2, he says, yet this I hold against you. You have forsaken your first love. And then on down he says, if you do not repent, I will come and remove your lampstand. Here the lampstand of the congregation before the Lord. And the idea was that they had lost their first love. They had done away with many of the things that they needed to out of their lives, but they had not added or kept in their lives the love for one another that they should. The other church is one of the last churches he talks about, and that's the church at Laodicea. And often we talk about this church, but listen to what he says to this church in verse 17 of chapter 3. You say, I am rich, I have acquired wealth and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you're wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. They were a rich church. They were a church they thought they were doing very well. And that's one of the things we'll look at today. But he says, in my sight, you're not. Look over down to back to Mark chapter 11. And listen to what Jesus teaches us today as far as fulfilling our role in his kingdom, doing the things that he wants us to be about. In chapter 11, beginning in verse 12. And beginning at this, he says, and they were leaving Bethany. Now, in this last week, you'll see that Jesus was staying in Bethany, which is only a few miles from Jerusalem, and he walked every day over to Jerusalem to teach in the temple courts and to teach the people, and then in the evening, he would walk back to Bethany. The next day, as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry. Seeing in the distance a fig tree, he went to find out if it had any fruit. When he reached it, he found nothing but leaves, because it was not the season for figs. Then he said to the tree, no one will ever eat fruit from you again. And the disciples heard him say it. Now, if you look over to Luke chapter 13, you see a parable that Jesus speaks that's almost, well, it has the same message, maybe just slightly different. Look over to Luke chapter 13. In Luke 13, Jesus talked is at the beginning, at the end of a long discourse or conversation with the people. And he talks to them about really looking at yourselves to be sure that you're right with the Lord. Think about yourselves. You're all the time looking at other people and wondering about them. But he says, what about you? Are you right with the Lord? And that's really where we are today. Look what he says in verse 6. Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he went to look for fruit on it, but did not find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, for 3 years now I've been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree and haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil? Sir, the man said, leave it alone for one more year, and I'll dig around it and fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, cut it down. Now, you think about the message that's given to us. The fig tree had lots of leaves, looked good. Both of them in the parable and the one that Jesus actually saw on his way to Jerusalem. It was a healthy looking tree. But he gets there and it doesn't have any fruit. It doesn't even have the little buds that would lead to fruit. And if we think that's what Jesus really wanted to eat was the little buds that would someday bear fruit. But it didn't even have that on there. It had nothing. It was a fig tree that was not bearing figs. Now think about us. As we go through this lesson today, this one and the next two episodes with Jesus, the idea is going to be that being a Christian is really not enough. We've got to be doing as a Christian. We've got to be bearing fruit as a Christian. We can't just be and think that that's enough. We need to be more than just being. In 2 Peter chapter 1, Peter talks about what we might call the Christian attributes. The things that we need to be adding to our lives to be what we should be in the Lord's kingdom. And in verse 5, he starts with saying that you need to have faith. To your faith, you need to add goodness, or some translations, virtue. To your virtue, you need to add knowledge. Now, this gets a little bit harder, doesn't it? That means we've actually got to do something. We have to study God's Word to have that knowledge in His Word that we should have. Self-control. That's one we talked about last week. The idea that we do need discipline in our lives. There are things in our lives that we need to say no to. There are other things in our lives we need to say yes to, and sometimes that means discipline. And that's something we're not always very good at. We sort of like doing what we want to do and not thinking about things. But as a Christian, we need to have self-control in our lives. To self-control, we add perseverance or steadfastness. We need to stay the course. It's not always going to be easy. It's easy to stay the course when things go the way we want them to, but things don't always go the way we want them to. To perseverance, we add godliness. To godliness, we add brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, we add love. And Peter goes on and says, if you add these things to your life, you won't be unproductive. You will bear fruit for the Lord. You will be productive in His kingdom. And that's what we need to be and think about our role in the kingdom and making sure we're not just a look-good Christian, but we're truly doing what the Lord would have us to do in His kingdom. Now look down at the next section. Jesus goes on down. In this section, you see, He's very strong. He doesn't say, He doesn't give this fig tree another 4 years. He curses it that day. And listen what He does next as He enters Jerusalem. Look at verse 15. On reaching Jerusalem, Jesus entered the temple area and began driving out those who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and benches of those selling doves and would not allow anyone to carry merchandise to the temple courts. As He taught them, He said, "Is it not written, 'My house will be called a house of prayer for all nations,' but you have made it a den of robbers?" Now here we see even more in the idea of the temple. One of the ideas that goes through the Bible is analogies of one thing leading us to another. The temple leads us to the idea of the church. You go back to some of the prophets like Haggai and others, and you see that the temple really was a pre-picture of the church that was going to be established. If you look over to 1 Corinthians, listen to what Paul has to say about the church and about us. Now, when I say the church, I'm not talking about an organization or a group, or I'm talking about us, the people, the assembly of God, the people that make up the Lord's kingdom on this earth. And listen to what he says in 1 Corinthians 3:16. He says, "Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you?" In 1 Peter, he goes on and talks about that we're living stones being built into a house of praise for God. And so we see that the church now is the pre-picture or the culmination, really the conclusion of the temple. And here Jesus goes to the temple and he says, "You're not acting like the temple should be. This should have been a house of prayer." And he goes on and he quotes from Isaiah, the scripture reading we had a few minutes ago. And it says it should be a house of prayer for all nations, that all the people that come to the Lord and do the Lord's will should have a house of prayer and should be accepted by their Lord. That's what Jesus quotes from Isaiah, the scripture reading we had just a few minutes ago. But then he also quotes from Jeremiah. And if you think about what Jeremiah says, and take it with Isaiah. Let me read Isaiah one more time. And then we're going to read Jeremiah, which is also quoted by Jesus. But in chapter 56, beginning of verse 6, he says, "Foreigners who bind themselves to the Lord and serve Him, to love the name of our Lord and to worship Him, all who keep the Sabbath without desecrating it and hold fast to my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain to give them joy in my house of prayer." Now look on over to Jeremiah chapter 7. And this is the second quotation he uses. One is that the church or the very temple was to be open to all nations. And see, they had really boarded it up and made it so that it could not be. It was a merchandising place. The place where the Gentiles should have had to come to prayer was being used to buy and sell. But look over to Jeremiah in chapter 7, beginning in verse 9. "Will you steal and murder, commit adultery and perjury, burn incense to Baal, and follow the gods you should not have known, and then come, stand before me in this house, which bears my name, and say we are safe, safe to do these detestable things? Has this house which bears my name become a den of robbers to you?" Think about our lives, and think about our relationship to God. Do we go about our lives and do what we want during the week, and then come to God's house, to His people, on Sunday morning and think, "Well, everything's fine. I can worship God with my brothers and sisters, and I'll be accepted"? What Jesus is trying to make us see is that His kingdom is to be open, and His kingdom is to bring us to God, and that's to be a way of life for us, to fulfill that role that we have. We're not just to be a tree with great leaves that looks good. We're to be good. We're to be doing God's will and doing His will in our lives. Last week we looked at Hebrews chapter 12. In Hebrews chapter 12, it talks about there's a race marked out. We like to think that God has a plan for our lives, don't we? But that means that we're fulfilling that plan. Have you ever worked at a company and had some employee that would sneak off and take a nap during work time? Maybe you have. I actually worked with a man that would do that. He would sneak out in the parking lot and get in his car in the back seat, and he'd lay down and take a nap. They eventually caught him, and needless to say, he was fired. Why? He was cheating the company. He was being paid to work, and he was going out and sleeping in his car. But how do we rob God? Don't we have a role in His kingdom today? And if we're not doing that, are we not robbing God, just like an employee would be robbing his master if he's not working as he should? Think about the kingdom of God and fulfilling our role in that kingdom. There's many roles. A few weeks back, Michael Clark asked for help in youth church. We need Sunday school teachers. We need people in all kinds of activities at the church. We have many things going on that need help with. We have a food room going now that many people work very hard. We need to look around and think about your role in God's kingdom and think about, are you fulfilling that role? Are you doing the things that you should be doing? Or are you just sort of being a Christian? Remember what happened to the fig tree. The fig tree looked like it was good and healthy, but it got cut down. Why? Because it wasn't doing anything. It was just looking good. Looking good is not good enough in the Lord's kingdom. We need to be about our roles in His kingdom and making sure we're fulfilling those roles. Even our congregation needs to be sure as a congregation we're doing the things that God would have us to do. As Jesus quotes from Isaiah, the temple was to be open to all nations, to all people. And that was God's will for the temple. And it's His will for us today. Look over to Ephesians. In the book of Ephesians, Paul talks about the role of the church in God's kingdom now and what God has planned for us to do. Look over to Ephesians. I'm going to kind of go backwards and show you, hopefully, Paul telling us or showing us the role of the kingdom or the church in God's kingdom. Look over to chapter 3 and beginning in verse 9. He says, "To make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God, who created all things. His intent was now through the church." And we can think about the church as being an assembly of His people, through His people, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authority in heavenly realms according to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Jesus Christ. Now, what was the mystery? Look back to verse 6. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together of promise of Christ Jesus. Now look at verse 19. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners or aliens, but fellow citizens of God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus as the chief cornerstone. So Paul brings forth the idea that it's through the church, his church, his people now, that the wisdom of God, this mystery of how he was going to bring all people together, would be made known. Just as Isaiah had quoted way back that there would be a time when all the foreigners, all nations, could come together in the temple. Paul is saying that is now being accomplished through the church. And it was God's intent that his wisdom and his gospel would be made known to the whole world through his church, through his people. And so it comes down to us, just as Jesus condemned them at the temple at that time. Is our congregation doing what we should be doing? Are we taking that message out? Are we accepting those in from what we might call foreigners or those that are maybe different from us? Is our church open to all people? And are we doing God's will now? Are we truly fulfilling our role in his kingdom? If you look at the message that Jesus brings to us, first the fig tree and then the temple, you see the importance of doing more than just being here, but doing God's will and being about his will for his kingdom and making sure we're fulfilling that role that he's placed before us. It's not good enough just to be here, to look good. We must truly be doing God's will, both as our congregation and as us as individuals. Now look with me at the final section. And when you first look at this section, you won't think, he said, Jesus is going to a new teaching. But it really brings everything together that he's just been taught. Look at chapter 11, beginning in verse 20. This is the next day. In the morning as they went along, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots. Peter remembered and said to Jesus, Rabbi, look, the fig tree you cursed has withered. Have faith in God, Jesus answered. I tell you the truth, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe you have received it, and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. So here they come to the fig tree. And now it's withered. And Jesus now brings him, doesn't dwell upon the fig tree, does he? He takes them along and he talks to them about what? He talks to them about prayer. And he brings them into prayer with two ideas or two conditions for prayer. And he brings them first with what we might call overstatement. You remember last week we looked at the idea when Jesus said, is it easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven? And he brought out the point that this may be impossible for men, but everything is possible for God. Same idea here with throwing a mountain into the sea. That's not possible for us, but all things are possible for God. And we start understanding the power of prayer. But now he puts two conditions on prayer. And these two conditions lead us to really what he's trying to get us to see on all the messages. The first is, when you pray, you must believe that you are going to receive what you pray for. And you think about that. It implies that you have faith in prayer. And it implies more than that. It implies that your will corresponds to God's will. We don't get to pray for just God just to go off and run around and do tricks for us. We pray with his will. We pray according to his will and according to his will for the world. And that means if we pray knowing that our prayer is going to be answered, it means our will corresponds or in harmony with God. And so the first caveat or the first condition Jesus says, you must pray with faith and be in harmony with God's will when you pray. And then the second one is very similar to it. You also must pray, be in harmony with everyone else. You cannot harbor things in your heart, anger or anything, revenge against anyone, and expect God to hear your prayers. Why? Well, he says why. He says, when you come to God in prayer, you must be in a good relationship with God. Not only must your will correspond to His, but you must be justified before Him. And you cannot be justified before God if you're not justified before your fellow man. That's what he's saying. If you're not in harmony with your brothers and sisters, how do you think you can be in harmony with God? And so these two conditions bring us together. And it really is what Jesus is trying to get us to see with the fig tree and the temple. We need to make sure our lives are in harmony with God. We don't just live a life that we think looks good. We live a life that's in harmony with His will for our lives. God has a role for each one of us to play in His kingdom. And we need to be doing that. We need to look around and think about, where should I fit in? What should I be doing? How can I fulfill the role the Lord has given me in His kingdom? And we need to be about that. And we need to think about our congregation to be sure our congregation is fulfilling its role in the Lord's kingdom. And too often, it's easy just sort of to go along and not think about these things. Jesus uses two illustrations, first the fig tree, and then the very temple itself, to think about that we need to be sure we're in harmony with God, that our will corresponds to His, that we're in harmony with our brothers and sisters so that we can be in harmony with Him, so that we can fulfill our role in His kingdom. Because remember what happened to the fig tree. After it was given 4 years, what happened to it? It was cut down. Well, think about the fig tree that Jesus crosses when He goes to Jerusalem. He curses it, and it withers and dies. We're given many, many chances to fulfill our role before the Lord. He is long-suffering with us. But one of the messages Jesus does give us is that there is a time when we will be judged for what we've done. And we need to be sure that we are in harmony with God's will. Five ideas I'd like for you to think with me on the message today. First, do we allow things to stay in our lives that we should not allow to stay in our lives? Are we truly ridding sin out of our lives? Or too often, do we just let it stay there? We know the things that tempt us. We know the things that we shouldn't be doing. Do we allow those in our lives, or do we cut them out? The second, are we adding to our lives the Christian virtues that we should be adding? Are we adding to our faith and our knowledge, our self-control, perseverance? Are we adding to our lives the godliness, the brotherly kindness, and the love that we should? If we don't, we're not going to be growing. But if we do, Peter says we will be productive. We will bear fruit for the Lord. The next, are we fulfilling our roles in His kingdom? Are we just being here, or are we doing something? Are we fulfilling the role the Lord has laid out before us in His kingdom? And the next one to think about, is our congregation fulfilling its role? Is our congregation doing what the Lord would want us to do? Remember what He said to the church at Ephesus? If you do not repent as a congregation, I'm going to take your lampstand and remove it. We need to be sure our congregation is doing what it should be doing. And last, do we really believe in prayer? And do we think about, do we live lives so that we can pray? Prayer is not offered just to anyone. It's offered to those who are in the Lord, who is in harmony with His will, and who is in harmony with the brothers and sisters. Do we think about that? Do we live lives so that we can pray? This morning, are you in Christ? Are you living a life according to His kingdom? Are you fulfilling your role in His kingdom? If you've never come to Christ, then there's a hole in His kingdom waiting for you to fill that role. Why don't you come this morning? Be baptized into His name so that you can fulfill your role in His kingdom. Or if you've been a part of His kingdom, but you really haven't been faithful, there's still a hole in His kingdom waiting for you to fulfill it. Why don't you come this morning and fulfill that role? If you have need to come in any way, won't you come as together we stand and sing?